listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at FancyPantsGangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Blogulator.com and Fancy Pants Gangsters, this is
Blogulator Radio.
I'm Qualler.
I am Bridget.
And we are definitely not laying in bed.
No, we're not blogging.
That would be weird.
We're not netcasting from bed.
That would be really weird.
Wearing our Dawson's Creek 90210 jammies.
Somebody was just
respectively
talking about wanting to watch Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, you know, it was a nice sunny spring day, and that always puts me in the mood for a little creek.
We're recovering from Easter. That was full of
family fun, long weekend, and
scrambled eggs mixed with guacamole,
a little salmon in there,
which is genius.
Uh huh. All pretty good. Lots of kind of too much sugar, too much candy.
Little
too sweet.
I won't say the brand name of the peanut butter chocolate
num nums,
we'll call them.
But we enjoyed them.
It does rhyme with
Easter.
Beeses.
Oh wait, it doesn't rhyme with
Easter. I don't know.
Rhymes. Rhymes.
Right.
The television and candy is rotting my brain, and you don't want to hear us talk too much about candy, so
no.
We'll get to our other sweet spot, television. So we start with this season, newest season, final season of Friday Night Lie.
Yeah, let's start with that.
Friday Night Lights.
You know, I think Chris and Dr. Peace talked about the return of Friday Night Lights on NBC. Mm-hmm. Last week in Blogulator Radio.
That's
and,
right.
We're at the same point as they were last week. We
yes.
watched the first episode, and amazingly, we were all ready to watch episode number two on our wonderful, fantastic on-demand service, NBC On Demand on our cable service.
We really do like that. That was not sarcastic.
It is good. It's a lot cheaper than DVR.
Mm-hmm.
Although if some television god were to give us DVR, I would not turn it away.
No, goodness no. We like the DVR. But, yeah, so we're all set to watch it.
And they had a previously on Friday Night Lights, and there was stuff like there's some spoilers.
Some minor spoilers.
Julie getting in a fight with some woman.
A female character we didn't know.
And Tammy Taylor looking at her like she was a little upset with her.
Mm-hmm. Tammy's got a good upset face.
Well, she's got the best upset face.
And
Vince.
Vince is being courted.
Yeah. And he was throwing a really long football. And it turns out, just learned today, thanks to fine
reporting. We did not watch the episode because we thought, okay, these previously ons do not match up. This must be a future episode. So we saved ourselves from major spoilers.
Yeah, and it turns out, thanks to the fine reporting from Alan Sepinwall over at hitfix.com, the cable companies posted the wrong episode.
So there you
go.
They
posted episode number 8 instead of episode number 2.
We thought maybe it was number 3, but they had skipped ahead all the way to episode number 8.
So
the biggest thing that tipped us off, though, was when Coach Taylor was seen kind of in a poignant moment out on the field where the East Dillon Lions practice.
Sure.
Shown out on the field with a new recruit who was a robot.
Yeah.
So
that was, you know,
that was
I always thought Robo QB would be an interesting premise for a show.
Right.
But, you know, I was, you know, if you talk about jumping the shark with Landry, blah, 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 murder plot, that was a real
that
shark.
That was weird, but I mean, a robot, come on. And he wasn't even super humanoid, you know, he was kind of a short little round. Do you remember that? Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, and then he was, you know, plotting the destruction of East Dillon.
Yeah,
and
then the lasers. We're just Easter fooling you.
Easter fools.
Easter fools.
Anyway.
But anyway, that was disappointing, so we're going to have to stay tuned for our review of episode number 2. Chris Qualler, Dr. Peace, and I, all very excited. One of the few shows I think we all agree on how good it is.
That was, you know, last year, like we talked about in episode number 1.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one show everyone on the Blogulator, at blogulator.com, agreed was genius.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you can't really complain with it.
Yeah.
So thank you, NBC, for your weirdly effective scheduling deal to get Friday Night Lights back on the air.
Yes, we appreciate it.
So thanks.
Do our best to watch the correct episode and report back
which
to
it,
all
it
of you.
It is available on Hulu, I understand. Episode 2, the
is that
correct
right?
episode is on Hulu. Maybe I can talk you into watching that instead of Dawson's Creek, Bridget. Although I do like The Creek once in a while.
I think I might fall asleep halfway through, so I think it might be The Creek for me.
Okay.
But okay. But you know, another a nice summer, sunny day like this also puts me in the mood for a little Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Back to...
Good segue, actually.
Oh, yeah?
From Friday Night Lights is last Tuesday. Tuesday the, what is it, 21st was the season finale of Parenthood, which is again
maybe the 19th.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, last Tuesday. Let's just say last Tuesday.
He's gonna go with the 21st. I'm gonna go with the 19th.
So it was somewhere.
You be the judge.
I think you're right. I think it was the 19th.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Jason Katims run Parenthood also run.
Mm-hmm.
Runs Friday Night Lights. And the season finale.
Same showrunner, huh?
Same showrunner. Interestingly.
I can see that. Good heartstrings.
Yeah. Anyway, so my thoughts, overall, Parenthood, solid season.
Mm-hmm.
Had a string of some really good episodes.
So this was the season finale on Tuesday.
Season
finale. One came
season
to a close.
Two.
Season two came to a close. Oh, that candy.
Candy.
Got into my brain.
So, season two came to a close, and, you know, we had a really interesting run of episodes near the end where things kind of came to a head with the Braverman family.
Mm-hmm.
And Max in the middle of a fight between Crosby and his brother Adam over the fact that Crosby slept with...
Lila Garrity.
A.K.A. Lila Garrity from Friday Night Lie.
Friday Night Lie. It all traces back to Friday Night Lie.
It usually does.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out, Max found out that he had Asperger's, and really good string episodes. And then things kind of settled back into a groove there of kind of more pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the season finale was really a kind of a microcosm of that, because it had some really fantastic moments in the season finale, and then it also had some incredibly cringeworthy moments.
Yeah, which were the cringeworthy moments for you?
Definitely thinking about Julia, played by Erica Christensen,
mm-hmm.
in the hospital, somehow running into. I think it was Jabbar's preschool teacher who was pregnant.
Sydney's preschool teacher.
Sydney's preschool teacher. And, like, a very, like, Grey's Anatomy-like scene where she was somehow roped into helping the teacher give birth.
Well, she wasn't helping the teacher give birth. Let's...
I'm just saying, it seemed definitely... out of place
okay.
for the show. It definitely seemed...
You said Grey's Anatomy. I could kind of see that. Kind of Grey's Anatomy.
Kind of like quirky music style scene where it's like a very heightened version of reality.
Okay.
Much more than we've come to expect from a show like Parenthood. Much more kind of hammy, comedy. Like, this is a comedy scene. Can't you tell? Because her eyes are really
big. Oh, but see, it wasn't. It didn't end up being a comedy scene. It ended up being what reminded Julia that she really did, you know, kind of want to have a baby. Because previously she had decided, this, you know, this just isn't in the cards for me, and we're going to move on from that. And I didn't necessarily... I mean, it was a little comedic, but I didn't see it as overly comedic. She didn't deliver the baby for her. It's not like they were in a broken elevator. She was just there and like, helped, like, support her, or, I don't know, held her hand, whatever. So, I can see what Qualler's saying. I see what you're getting at, but I definitely did not think that that was a cringeworthy moment. It was a less...
I cringed.
Great
moment.
I definitely
cringed.
Well, you're a cringeaholic.
I guess I'm a...
You get your finger on the cringe.
Sure.
Cringe finger.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Just to get my other quibbles out of the way, how quickly is the life cycle of a play usually? Does it usually start by one guy, generally kind of
a Richard
Dreyfuss
type? Okay, that was not a play, that was just a staged reading.
But it did end in a play.
No, that was a staged reading. They were not actually at like a production play.
It did end in a play.
That was a staged.
What's the difference between a staged?
It's different in the thing that you're bringing up, which is important, which is the timeline, right? Which is how long to take it from the script to actually like getting a play produced. So that what they were at was not like a production. A fully, like, I'm not...
Are you talking
I'm not
about the scene where, at the end, where there was a full audience there and they
yes,
all clapped?
That was a staged reading of... Didn't you notice they all had their scripts? They were all just reading. It wasn't actually, like... There was no set. There were no costumes. So, like, it wasn't... So, okay. in terms of a timeline, that was a realistic timeline for getting something like that staged.
Okay.
And it seemed to me like it probably just had, like, a one-night run... So it wasn't like a big scale, like, oh, we're getting this thing produced.
That's understandable.
That's how I interpreted that. We'll do a stage reading and we'll see where it goes from there. I'm not a theater person. I don't really know the ins and outs, but it seemed like it was a step below actually having, like, your play
produced.
That's
a good clarification.
Yeah.
And you know, I
But theater people out there, correct, you know, correct us
I guess,
if I'm wrong.
You know, I can never turn my eyes away from a scene where Lauren Graham is in it because she's utterly fantastic in everything she does.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Gilmore Girls is great.
Yeah.
And she's very good as Sarah Braverman in Parenthood, very likable. I just, you know, it kind of bugs me when TV shows go for the whole, I'm an artist and I suddenly became an artist and why don't you see my wonderful art and it's on display and it they show it and the dialogue is always like very clunky and very much like I have feelings. I don't want to do this because I don't love you. And like the audience there all seems to be really into it.
You've totally lost me. Are you talking about when people
I'm talking about when a TV show in particular has a character who is an artist. The same kind of thing happens on 6 Feet Under, the show that I'm covering on theblogulator.com.
Okay.
Really awkward plug there. Anyway.
No, go for it. So give us a specific example
of
when this happens in 6 Feet Under.
On 6 Feet Under, Claire, we learn in season 2 that she has a talent for art, and as the series goes on, she goes to art school, and frequently the teachers will say things like, Claire, you are such a wonderful artist. And then they show the art, and it's like a collage of like, it's like one of those posters you see like at the mall.
I see what you're saying. So what you're saying is, this is what I'm hearing you say, is that you get frustrated when the plot of a show you're watching, one of the characters is an artist, and you don't think the art is really all that great, but somehow they, like, are successful as artists.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and what I would reply to that with is, suspension of disbelief. That's how I deal with those things.
Yeah, and I do, too.
Right, because it's and they only showed, going back to Parenthood, they only showed snippets of this play. We didn't get a whole, like, beginning, middle, and end. You know, what we caught wasn't fantastic. It was very much a staging of her own life. But I don't think, that's not the point. It is for them, for the writers of the show to actually create a play within this show that is, like, you know.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Totally praiseworthy, fair. Because why would we have to do that? We can use it, we can fill in the holes with our imagination. The point is, Sarah wrote a play, and she was actually pretty good at it. In 6 Feet Under, the point is, Claire's an artist, and this is something she's actually good at. Right? So this is one of those, when I think of the passing of time and how we experience entertainment from, like, a book, reading a book to watching a show or a movie. So, like, in a show or a movie, they actually have to show you these things, usually.
Right.
Whereas, like, in a book, I feel like it would just be narrated with, and then we all sat and watched Claire's art.
Yeah.
And it was great. Okay. Or then we all sat and watched Sarah's play, and it was great. So the importance is not the content of that art, right? The importance is just that we understand she's making art now, and it's great.
Fair enough.
But I get what you're saying. It did fall a little bit too into place in terms of, like, oh, she's successful. Richard Dreyfuss, who happens to be an old army buddy of her dad's, is going to help her.
Course,
the whole thing was
Richard
weird.
Richard Dreyfuss would be an army buddy of Craig T. Nelson.
Well, right. Because
they're both cranky, you know, actors.
But Richard Dreyfuss in the army? Come on.
That's true. I don't... Well, listen to me, Craig T. Nelson.
I'm sorry. Are you yelling at me to shoot the gun? I can't. I don't need this right now. Yeah, that was my...
You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I could go for a Craig T. Nelson, Richard Dreyfuss spinoff.
Army Buddy movie?
Army Buddies.
Army Buddies.
Maybe with a Z.
Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe a Cop Buddy show?
Make it happen,
yeah.
NBC.
You hear us?
What else is Richard Dreyfuss doing? And he had that top hat that he wore.
No, I get it. That was... Okay, so are we talking about your cringeworthy scenes again? Let's draw this back to something.
That wasn't... It wasn't cringeworthy as much as it was just kind of like, oh, okay. I get it. You know? Okay.
This is how I feel about Parenthood. I think Parenthood has fantastic characters, and the show is really about these characters.
Yeah.
The stuff that happens in the plot is only there as devices to get us at knowing these characters.
Yeah.
So I feel like Parenthood sometimes has ridiculous stuff that happens, but it doesn't bother me so much because I feel like that stuff that happens is always secondary to us getting to know these people.
Yeah.
And these characters really developing for us and, like, right, so, like, yeah, it's ridiculous, it's not realistic. Sarah's not gonna probably in a, what, 3 month period? That's the other thing. I have a hard time with timelines in this show. I have no idea how much time has passed.
Yeah.
3 months, 5 years, something, a week. You know, go from, oh, what's this I'm working on? Oh, I thought for the first time in my life I'd try writing. Oh, it's a play. Oh, everyone likes it. Oh, Dad happens to know a producer of a play whom we've never met, who owes him a favor. And, oh, look, it's being staged, and just as my daughter needs something to jolt her out of her downward spiral, she can see this play that I've written that's essentially about her and the family.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's a little silly. It's not super realistic, but I didn't even really think about these things as I was watching it, because I was too busy thinking, man, I'm so happy that Sarah's finally catching a break and something's finally going well. Here's a character who her whole life, she's been bright, she's been quick, but, like, she's never really found her thing that she can do. She's never really caught a break, it seems like. She's never really found something that she can put herself into that can be satisfying for her.
It's kind of like TV shortcuts to, like, the real life equivalent would be, like, I enjoy riding the bus to work more, and that's a good thing for me. You know, like, that would be a really boring TV. Whereas, like, on TV, it has to be, like, I'm writing a play because, you know.
So is that your writing a play? Taking the bus?
I don't know. Something.
You are a boring person, Waller. But no, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, TV shortcuts. We'll give it that.
Let's call it TV shortcuts.
Do you have any other cringeworthy moments that you want to...
You know, I don't want to focus on the negative too much.
We don't do that.
Honestly, you know, I really like Parenthood a lot. I think it's clearly whatever issues we may have with it once in a while. It's like the same thing, like, with your family. You got issues with your family, but you know what? You still love your family.
But at the end of the day, you want to sit down and your parents' awesome Berkeley house, outdoor garden, long table thing.
Yeah.
And just pass the bread and you're, and laugh.
And, you know, I think the most effective scenes on the show to me are the really, actually the really small moments, like the story in the season finale of Max losing his retainer, you know, kind of along the lines of the episode, earlier episode this season where Jabbar had to learn how to clean his room.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really like those.
So you like the more kind of realistic, the day-to-day, the mundane
I like that because it's like you were saying, it's kind of a window into the characters' lives and a window into their struggles. And,
sure.
And, you know, I really grew to love Adam and Christina's struggle with Max, even though, like, a lot of the time, Adam and Christina just make me really mad and, like...
They are cringeworthy.
I feel like they are my parents, not specifically my parents, but parents, like, TV parents of everyone, and it's just like, oh, Mom and Dad, just shut up.
Yeah, so those characters make you feel like you're interacting with your parents. Like, they make you feel like you're a frustrated teenager again.
Exactly.
I totally get that. Because they're rigid and unbending and self-righteous, and...
But their struggles with Max, you know, you actually do feel for him, and somehow Max went from a character where you felt kind of like, oh, I don't know if I should like him because he has a disability, to...
You felt like that? I don't know if I should him because he has a disability?
Let me try...
You're making art is riding the bus, and you don't like... kids with disabilities.
What I'm saying
is... This is a window into Qualler's life. I think we're learning about his
cruel,
character.
Cruel mind I have.
All right, so go ahead.
So, you know, you're supposed to... I don't know if you were supposed to feel...
I think... Okay.
What I'm trying to get at is, at the end of the day, I found Max as a charming kid, a charming boy who says things that he finds are very... Okay, this is coming off even worse, because now I'm saying I wasn't supposed to like him, and now I'm saying I'm laughing at him because he says funny things.
But you're laughing with him.
Yeah.
Maybe if I may interpret this...
Please.
...in a kind of give you a generous reading of what you just said. Max at first is not so much a character as he is... a catalyst for other characters, right? So So it wasn't about Max. It was about how Christine and
Adam
dealt with Max.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think it's about that, but now it's actually becoming about Max too. So Max is actually becoming a character.
Yeah,
and I think I would put that more not because he has a disability. That he at first wasn't a real character, but because he was a kid, I felt like it was a typical way that child characters are handled in television series.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, Sydney is kind of like that.
Yeah.
But then in the episode where Sydney was a vegetarian, like, a lot of that episode is really about how is it Julia?
Julia. Yeah.
Julia and what's his nuts? Look at you. how they are going to deal with Sydney. How they're going to deal with their parents dealing with Sydney, right? But part of that is also you're getting a window into Sydney, who's her own character, her own person in her own right, right? So it's kind of also how we think about kids in real life. And Max, I think, is like that. So a lot of it is about, okay, we're watching it. We're more going to sympathize with the adults. We're going to put ourselves in the parents' shoes, right?
Yeah.
We're going to put ourselves in the grandparents' shoes, even maybe in Hattie's shoes, in the older sister, the teenager shoes. And how is Max going to affect us? How do we interact with Max? How do we handle Max's problems? I think with the retainer episode, this most recent episode with Max, when he finally found the retainer, and he's not even on, you don't even see him. He's not even on screen at this time.
Well,
he says, I found my retainer. I'm awesome. I think you get, like, something about that moment was like, we're learning about Max too. Like, Max is his own person. Max is his own three-dimensional character. Max is dealing with stuff. So it's not just about how are we going to deal with Max, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're also, like, learning about Max in his own right. He's a character in his own right. He's a person in his own right. He's not just a kid. And I think I like that the show is going there with Max. I like that he's not just a problem for them to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that he's not just like a talking point.
Yeah.
Or a plot point.
It's not this family has a kid with Asperger's. It's like, this is a family, one of the kids has Asperger's.
And that kid is a, and we're gonna look at that kid. But even like, even take away the Asperger's, and it's like, kids in television, in shows like Parenthood, are usually, there to advance the plot in some, plot that's about,
cute.
The plot that is about the adults.
Yeah.
But I think that Parenthood is trying at least a little bit to kind of make the kids, you know, characters in their own right. I would say, though, the one character who's not a character for me, who's just there in relation to other people, is...
Drew,
yeah.
And Sarah's younger son.
Amber's
younger brother.
He seems to just get lost in the shuffle, which I think is also kind of realistic, because that may be in the family.
Kind of the age where you're kind of... Well,
and in that family, with his personality, he probably would get kind of lost in the shuffle.
Kind of a shy kid.
You know, his sister, he's always in the shadow of his sister's problems, and his mom is dramatics. But I'm hoping that in the next season, we see more of Drew.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we see even more glimpses into Max, you know, maybe let Max have his own storyline instead of a Adam storyline featuring Max.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Sydney. And with Jabbar, too. Jabbar has not been much of a character. We don't really know Jabbar. He just seems like this kind of perfect little kid. That cleaning the room episode, again, we learned about Crosby. We learned about Jasmine and their interactions, but we also learned about Jabbar. For the first time, he became a character, a person, not just, like, kid X or what, you know.
Well, speaking of Crosby and Jasmine, what did you think of seemingly Crosby and Jasmine getting back together at the end of the season finale?
You know what? I'm a sap, and I liked it.
Sure.
I thought it was realistic.
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
Okay. And how did you find it realistic?
I guess I find it realistic because real life is not as dramatic as television. In real life, people stay in relationships.
But they were the thing that I
sometimes, even when they shouldn't stay in relationships, because. Because you have things like kids and family and a history, and I mean, in real life, I think, I don't know, I would have seen them getting back together and sticking it out.
Well, here's my, back to my quibble zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I think, what I really enjoyed about the episodes leading up to it was that Crosby was doing all of this to get Jasmine back, was buying a house, he was going to her workplace and trying to win her back.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said, Crosby, I love you, but we can't do this.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was a really good place to leave it. I was a little bit disappointed that it seemed like all of this time they had been setting up what could have been a really interesting third season. Of course, I don't know, one, if there will be a third season yet. We're still waiting to find out.
Please.
You know, sounds like it will be a third season, but regardless, I think it would have been a lot more interesting to have kind of a Crosby reluctantly has this strained relationship with Jasmine.
But I see.
To see Jabbar. Yeah. And if they're going into a third season and everything's back to normal... I've never been a huge Jasmine fan. I feel like she's not a very interesting character. I feel like she's doesn't contribute a lot on her own, and, you know, frankly, one of the things the show sometimes suffers from is having too many characters. I would have no problem cutting Jasmine out of the show.
Wow.
At least on a regular basis.
The woman of color gets cut.
All right.
Not a very interesting character. I don't think Jasmine is a very developed character yet, but I think we've gotten glimpses into her, who she is, like we have with other people, and sure. I like Jasmine as a character. none of the in-laws are as developed characters as the core family.
As the Braverman
family. As the Braverman family. It's about the Bravermans.
Sure.
Right? But I do like, and I hope one, that the show continues, because I like it. I hope you can tell we like it by how much we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But I hope that as it continues, we get more and more of these kind of more peripheral, outside that core family, Braverman, you know, the blood relatives. And get to see Jasmine. I like Jasmine as a character. I think now that I hear you saying that, it would have been interesting, I think, not to cut her, but to keep Jasmine as a central character, but not Jasmine with Crosby.
Yeah.
So have her on the show as much, maybe have some of her own episodes, or, you know, more Jasmine central plot lines, but have her be there, but not with Crosby. I don't know that it's going to work out with them, though. Here's what the foreshadowing, I don't know, they could go either way with this, what I thought was interesting, and I don't even know if I don't know if I can even say, or if it's even significant if I liked it or disliked it, but I thought it was interesting, and again, maybe unfortunately kind of realistic, and maybe a signal that this is not going to work out, is that when Crosby finally said, I'm done, I'm not going to chase you anymore, that was when Jasmine was like, okay, I'm back. I'm back then. Right? So it was kind of the like, well, now that you're not totally after me, maybe I suddenly start to get scared about what I'm losing, and
it's the old reverse psychology trick.
Yes. And I thought that was a little, at first I thought, okay, this is ridiculous, because I could, in the scene when he was saying that to her, I was like, you can almost see it in her, on her face in that scene.
Thinking
that
like,
she was starting to think, maybe I made a mistake.
She doesn't like me anymore.
And at first I was like, well, this is kind of hackneyed, and this is done over and over. And I thought, well, but okay, this is also kind of realistic, because there's something very human about, as soon as the option is closed for me, then I reconsider my choice, right?
Sure.
As soon as you don't want me, or not even not want me, as soon as you're saying, okay, I'm, this part is done, I'm moving on, we're going to move on, that's when I think, well, shoot, maybe I made the wrong decision.
Well, shoot, y'all.
Maybe we should give this another chance. So I thought that, and I don't know if that was intentional on Crosby's behalf. I don't know if we'll learn whether that was intentional, but that makes me think that the underlying issues are still there.
Well, that's,
Jasmine's going back to him for the wrong reasons, if that's the case. Maybe going back to him out of fear. Instead of really having forgiven him or really being able to get over it.
She said time and time again that she loves the Braverman family. Of course, I love the Bravermans. I love you guys.
So in some ways, maybe it's just easier to go back to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. So maybe we'll get some interesting Jasmine Crosby plot lines. And maybe this term, I'm guessing it's not over.
Many times, any show, if you would have told me 5 years ago, a show highlighted by a performance by Dax Shepard would be one of my favorite shows, and would have been one of my favorite characters played by Dax Shepard. You could have just thrown me overboard, because
what?
Crazy.
Because crazy.
That's a saying, right?
You could have just thrown me overboard, because crazy. Here to hear first, folks.
Such a jerk.
Well, what are you gonna do? I've been watching a lot of Real Housewives. It rubs off.
Bitch, I don't talk to you.
Hey, don't bring my family into this. we liked Parenthood. We got
third
some
season. Probably gonna happen. Well done, second season overall.
Yes.
I enjoyed watching you.
It's a show, much like Friday Night Lights, that I don't think I've ever watched an entire episode without crying at least once.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to cry a lot more than I did on the season finale. I ended up crying only one time at the very end.
And that scene that you were talking about earlier where Max finds his retainer is
that was one what of the, made me cry.
One of the two great scenes I thought in the episode is because that was... Finding the retainer was also at a time when we unexpectedly found out that Christina was pregnant.
Although I called that from the preview. Thank you very much.
Yeah, actually, NBC
spoilers.
Did a really terrible job of spoiling all of the plot points of the last two episodes. They also spoiled Amber getting in a car accident. But anyway.
Anywho.
Sorry, NBC. You gotta promote this stuff better, but I understand the.
I understand you got it. You got to get people in the seats, right? But
you know, if that's what you need to do,
if that's what you need to do to keep the show going, do it. But
I just won't watch.
We won't watch the next time on.
The next time on.
Yeah, exactly. We can do that. We can do that.
But that scene was fantastic because one of those moments where everything unexpectedly falls into place after a lot of striving. And that's, you know, that's life. You know, sometimes, you know, you go through a lot of struggles in life and sometimes things just fall into place.
Well, and
you don't do anything.
It was like the really, what I thought
was... And this is right after Adam also found out that he got fired.
Right. So what I liked about it is not necessarily that it was just everything's falling into place, but that, like, all these major things were going really wrong. And that one really minor thing that Adam was kind of putting all his attention into, because of all the shit he was dealing with, getting fired, mm-hmm. Amber's accident, mm-hmm. Hattie, finding out Hattie's having sex, mm-hmm. right? All this really heavy, important stuff he's dealing with, and all he cares about is finding the stupid kid's retainer, which is really like a, should have not been a priority. That's a really minor thing to worry about. Right, so as his life's kind of falling apart, then he finds out on top of he's been fired, his wife is pregnant, how's he going to support another kid, you know, at this point when he's got one who's almost grown, and then Max, and, you know, so when all these really big things are falling apart, that something really small fell into place.
Mm-hmm.
So what I kind of took that to be a really interesting, kind of fun, kind of poignant sign was... Not that things are all falling into place, but, like, see, don't worry about the small shit. Like, that's going to take care of itself. Don't worry about the lost retainer. Like, think about these bigger moments and think about... and even just pointing out how silly it is, like, well, I was worried about this lost retainer, which, like, yeah, we found the retainer, but, like, who cares if you find the retainer?
Well, I took that scene a little differently. I took it as... the retainer as a method of getting him to realize losing his job, having a new kid, unexpectedly having a baby, that all of these things don't have to be disasters. That you know, when life opens a new opportunity, when you get fired from your job, maybe that's a perfect opportunity to change your career path. And I think that his reaction to finding out that it wasn't Hattie who was pregnant, but it was his wife who was pregnant, that he lost this job, that his boss, this punk kid, even told him, you're not happy here, you don't like this job, you're not happy, I'm going to let you go. I think it was kind of like a Adam coming to realize the things that he was so worried about don't necessarily have to be... things that he stresses himself about. And I think the retainer, you know, that falling into place, the look on his face was priceless. It was kind of a, like a sudden relief feeling that feeling.
And that's interesting, and I get that reading, but what I saw, the look on his face was not a necessarily relief. It was a look on his face where he was finally realizing, like, how silly he had been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was laughing at himself. He was laughing at himself because, and yeah. I thought that was like, okay, through all the mess and all these big things to deal with, which are going to be, they're going to be awesome. They're also going to be really hard. I've been worrying about obsessing about finding a stupid retainer. Like that's what I thought that look was, that laugh, like, oh, well, the retainer's found. That was my one problem I was focusing on. And it's like, well, you know. So I thought he was laughing. It was kind of Adam finally realizing something about himself in a good way, like learning, like, I've just got to let some of this stuff go. Like, you can't obsess with some of this stuff. Adam, I think, is a character that needs to be perfect, mm-hmm. right? He needs everything to be perfect, and I think he finally was realizing, I'm worrying about the wrong things here. Yeah. I'm focusing on the minutiae of my life, you know, and sometimes you just have to, like, let go the lost retainer and not everything is going to be perfect and deal with the bigger things, the things that are important. And
then I think the one other scene that was, great was, was Zeke, Craig T. Nelson bringing his granddaughter, Amber Mae Whitman, to the junkyard and saying, you better not get in an accident again. We're Bravermans. You got my blood in you.
Yeah.
You better not F this up.
Uh-huh.
I love you. So that was, you know, that was the scene that really got me there. And
really?
Yeah, it was. I thought that was perfect moment for the show, what the show is about at its core, that it's about the moments in life that, you know, it's not always high drama, but it's about your family and family name and by gum, you better not F this thing up because
it's other people.
We may not always get along, but golly gee, you're a Braverman.
May your blood keep you always. May your wishes all come true.
Singing, the theme song.
May you always do for others and their other do
for
you.
Together.
May your good day bear. May your down time be long.
May you stay
forever young.
All right, I think we've talked about parenthood for way too long.
I think we've got to wrap this up.
We just spent 35 minutes talking
about
parenthood.
I think we'll leave you with that, and look forward to hopefully another great season.
Yeah,
that's it.
So thanks for listening to the Blogulator Radio podcast netcast tonight, and enjoy your week, and we'll see you next time, because Bridget,
our opinions are valid.